reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going
extra, extra, read all about it. Special announcement, something to share with you guys here. I have partnered up with Hans over at FaZe Moto. They are a local Jersey born and bred moto gear company. So if you haven't heard about FaZe, go ahead, check them out. And I've been fortunate enough to have a promo code to share with you guys. The code is Voice of Tor, all one word, Voice of T-O-R, and that is for 25% off your entire order at checkout. That's pretty dope. You'll be able to save a little bit of coin, get yourself kitted out. I will be rocking my first kit, my first full FaZe kit. I've always been kind of a gear whore. I have always, you know, had that motto of look pro, go slow, and also, you know, look good, feel good, ride good. Even if you suck and go slow like me, I always like to look like I know what I'm doing. So shout out to Hans and FaZe. Again, the promo code is Voice of Tor for 25% off. And yeah, again, I'll be rocking my kit for the last round here, the Hunter GP. All right, everybody, this is the final episode of the Voice of Tor for the 2024 season. I shouldn't say the final episode because I might sneak in another one or two here as we actually round out the year. But as far as racing goes, we are right up against the final weekend here. It is one day away. Tonight is Thursday the 21st. Tomorrow will be Friday the 22nd. And then we are racing again on the 23rd. That is Saturday. We'll be doing the youth and the peewee as well as the vintage classes. And then the big bikes and adults will be racing on Sunday the 24th to close out the 2024 season. This will be the Hunter GP at New Jersey Motorsports Park, NJMP, not Field of Dreams. This is located at the car track across the street. Again, that is the Hunter GP, the final round of Temple Off-Road Racing at New Jersey Motorsports Park. So without further ado, we're going to get moving here. I'm going to make some phone calls, get some of our guests on the line for this week, and some fun ones here. I'm going to bring on the mystery video editing contest fella, whatever you want to call him, video guru, video judger. He has been in the shadows. But we're going to bring him on here, see what he has to say about Temple Off-Road. And I'm also going to bring on arguably the biggest fan of off-road racing and racing in general, whether it be dirt bikes or cars or quads, you name it. This lady is a fan of them, and want to give her a spotlight here because she deserves it, and definitely a perspective that I think all of you guys are going to enjoy hearing. So if you want to give me a minute here, I'm going to dial up some numbers, and we'll see who we can't get on the line. All right, now I have got a very special lady here on the line. I have been wanting to pick her brain about Temple Off-Road for basically the whole season here. Every time I get a chance to be around her, I feel like I always hear a story I've never heard before about racing, whether it be the GNCCs or some sort of dirt nationals for a car track racing. She's been there, done it, seen it all, and has got some loved ones involved, so that's what brings her out to the races. I am talking to none other than who we know affectionately as Mamaw. Mamaw, who are you and what is your real name?
My real name is Wanda Donahue, and I live in West Virginia, but I travel a lot with my grandchildren. And that's my life.
And who specifically? Who's your favorite grandchild? Who did you do the most traveling for?
Oh, I have 9 grandchildren, and they're all individuals, and they've all been successful in their respective lives. And I'm just proud of each and every one of them. Obviously, Tegan, who, you know, has been racing since he was just a young child. And I followed him in his career. I followed his dad prior to that. Todd was a great racer. I started out watching him race. And then I have 2 grandsons in West Virginia who have raced, starting out with off-road racing with the motorcycles and the four-wheelers. And then I have a grandson who is involved in car racing. So there's just a different perspective from each of my grandchildren and what they've been involved in and what they do. And I enjoy every minute of it.
So no shortage of racing in your life.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. It wouldn't be a race weekend, you know, without seeing somebody involved in racing.
So, again, clear that out. You are Tegan's grandmother, and you are coming out for years and years and years, obviously watching him from he was a knee-high to a grasshopper, and now he is something of a giraffe, and he's not really racing anymore. What do you think about this little project he's got going on now, and what's your involvement?
I'm very enthusiastic about his interest in racing, and I'm glad that he was able to take it to a different level. He started out, it was exciting to see him as a young racer, and then he progressed into the more advanced in pro racing, and he was successful in that. And I just think he had a view that he wanted to be successful in not only just racing, but providing racing for other people. He has worked with young children and helped them throughout the years. I've watched him progress as he's helped other young racers become successful. And he's worked with them and taught them and made it an enjoyable sport. It wasn't about the win. It's about the enjoyment of racing.
So now you're starting to enjoy it from a different side of things.
Absolutely.
You're getting
absolutely
to watch it kind of full circle where – you know, you're not really your race prep before the weekend. It looks a little different now, and when you're at the racetrack, it looks a little different now too. What are you doing when you're at the races?
Well, basically, we each have individual responsibilities. It's always been a family affair. My family, I think, first and foremost, I enjoy having my family together. There's no greater joy than mm-hmm. seeing your kids out there and enjoying life, whether it's your grandchildren or my children. And I see, you know, with myself and my daughter, we come up from West Virginia, and we work with the merchandise trailer.
Okay, and so you're selling some of the gear?
Selling beautiful gear.
Do you have any favorites? What are you always pushing over there?
I don't push any particular one. I think the merchandise sells itself. But, I mean, it's kind of interesting in the fact that we have new and different apparel every weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, every race, we don't know what to expect. Tynan, that's Tegan's sister. She does a fantastic job. She works and she organizes, and you know, we decide on the colors and what's going to be the event shirt. And then she comes up with some neat ideas with the, course with the tour logo on it.
Sure.
And so it's exciting to see what she comes up with. She's very progressive in getting all that together for us. And again, it's a family affair. We all sit and we talk about what's selling, what's not selling. But it's just seeing the people that come up and buy the merchandise and the appreciation they have for what they're getting. So I enjoy that, meeting the people, mm-hmm. working with them, and just seeing, you know, the interaction of that.
So do people ever, you know, kind of put it together that you might be Tegan's grandmother, or, you know, perfect strangers? Do you ever get to chatting with anybody, or have you met anybody pretty, any cool people you've met this year?
Absolutely. We meet people at every race. And of course, as you said previously, everybody knows me as Mamaw, mm-hmm. and I meet a lot of people, and they give me their names, and sometimes I'm forgetful and I don't always remember all the names. I remember the faces, but there are several that will come to the when we're setting up, they will come early to get merchandise, seeing what we have that's new And they just appreciate that. And I've developed, you know, oh, you know, here comes my favorite shopper, you know. And some of them just like to come and chat and talk and see what the merchandise is for that particular race. And it's always interesting to meet these people and talk with them and, you know, the interaction. And it's family. It's mm-hmm. you get to know them and you get to talk to them and you, oh, where's your sister tonight? You know, mm-hmm. or they get to know us. One funny story that I can tell is that one of our youth riders came and he was always buying merchandise and he took a liking to Tracy, my daughter. And he was like, today's my birthday. Can you come? We're having a birthday party. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I would love to, but right now we're selling merchandise. We can't really, you know, come, but, you know, so we wished him a happy birthday and everything. And then it wasn't more than a couple hours later, he brings her one of his birthday cupcakes, you know.
and for reference here, you know, because people might interpret that story, you know, it's how old is your daughter and how old was this patron?
I don't know if my daughter wants me to give her
it was a youngster and an adult. I just mean that it wasn't your 16-year-old daughter, you know, getting hit on by a child or another kid. It was an innocent little kid coming up and he became friends with Tracy.
Well, and you probably know the young man. It was Carson. I think he wants to come and help you at times.
Yes, Carter, little blonde-haired guy.
Yes, of course.
I do remember that it was his birthday. Now I forget which round that was, but yeah, that's so funny. He's always just throwing himself right in, helping everybody out. He's a good little helper. I'll give it to him. He is.
And this is a type of family support that we really appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they come and they're helpful. I mean, we can be setting up merchandise and we're having trouble, you know, getting some of the racks out.
Sure.
There are riders that are just walking around maybe for registration or whatever. And they come, oh, let me help you with that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome. And, yeah, throwing in a helping hand.
Oh, yeah. It's a family situation. And the little kids that have, you know, come up and they talk about their dad's racing or their mom's racing. And mm-hmm. it's so good to see that and to see, you know, what they want to do. You know, they're looking up to these people and it's very impressive. And I remember when my grandson was looking up to his dad. Tegan was looking up to Todd and that created that interest. And you see that in the faces of these young riders right now that are probably going to try to follow in their parents' footsteps, you know, and continue with that.
Yeah.
It's all about family.
Yeah. You have a very rare vantage point from the aspect that, there's not a lot of people who get to watch their child, or their, the next generation below them, then raise their child to watch their, you know, your grandson watching his dad, you know, it's special, and you don't see that in many sports or, you know, many weekends away with the family where it is everybody's involved and they're doing the same thing. They're riding the same track and they're participating in the same things. It's a rarity, and it does bring everybody so much closer together. And you have that unique angle where you can see it kind of from an aspect that nobody else does, from that grandparent generation where you've seen your kids doing it and then now your grandkids. I hope to one day, you know, make it that far in life and have grandkids of my own that I'll be able to watch, you know, looking up after me, maybe want my kids watching me ride and everything. It's one of those goosebump things. It's awesome. It's what it's all about. Like you said, it's all about family and everybody coming together, and dirt bikes is the name of the game, which is the sticky glue that brings us all together.
Right. And I think that's the way we started out. We started out with just being, you know, supportive of our, you know, of our family members who basically, you know, were out racing or doing different sports events or something. And it brought the family together. And that's the appreciation I have. The fact that it's extended out into additional, I mean, I think of you, Luke, as a family member. And I think of all the different supportive friends that Tegan has that comes every race and, you know, gives it their all. There are so many. There are friends of Kim and Todd's, that's Tegan's parents, that come. And they do this not out of, you know, for what they're getting, but for what they are doing for others. They're just so supportive and they want to help out. And then it gives them a personal enjoyment. I think it's created a whole new family among us. I know my one grandson, when he came up for one of the races, he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. He came up and he was so impressed by the fact. He said he went to the racetrack and everybody, including you, knew their responsibilities. They come to the race, we greet each other, we're family, but we know what our individual responsibilities are. Like, you start getting out your equipment because you're going to be, you know, talking to people
We all have somebody's moving that speaker or somebody's putting that sign up. Yeah, everybody's moving stuff around, getting the equipment
everybody
ready.
Knows. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a family, you know, outside of the individual family. And we've all created a new family environment. And I think it's a very enjoyable entertainment for the families that come and bring their children. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot of money to do that. And the cost of entertainment has gone up tremendously. And this creates a family bond where people can get together and just enjoy each other's company. And
lifelong memories.
Yes. And some of these racers that come and you're buying some of our merchandise and we're like, oh, how did you do today? We recognize them and we know they've been there at previous races and they're like, oh, I got seventh or eighth. It's not about how I placed, you know, in the end. It's the enjoyment of being here with my family. And that's what it's all about. It's family unity. I think it creates support and an appreciation for our family members. And you can just see the little kids, how much they enjoy the racing. They're not there to win every race. They're there to enjoy, you know, the sport.
Yeah. And not even, they spent, I feel like that 10-year-old and under range is like, they have just as much fun while on the track as they do off the track, running around with their friends and, you know, staying up after dark and chasing each other around the bonfire. And, you know, that's where the real memories are made of. And then, of course, there's fun to be had on the track, but it's a lot of memories and love and friendship going around off the track.
Yeah, and they get on those bikes and ride around.
Yeah,
and then
they never
ride
stop.
It never stops. I mean, they always find entertainment there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. It really is.
All right. Well, speaking of family, I think this might be a good time to bring in one of our other Temple family members here, unofficial Temple family member. Are you ready to give our film contest judge a call?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's get him on the phone here. I'm just going to do a live call. He was expecting it, so we should see. Let me see if I merge the calls here.
What'd you say?
Was I able to merge these here, or did I lose Mamaw? Who do I have? I think I got them both. I got them both on here. All right.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Hey, Mamaw.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Just fine. We made it here without any difficulty. We had some rain, but no snow. I understand you have snow in West Virginia.
We do indeed. I just had some excitement coming over the mountain, coming back to Morgantown. So we'll see how it shapes up for tomorrow.
Good. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, of course. Same. Likewise.
I love that. That's Appalachia talk right there. You just came down the mountain and you got settled in. That's nice.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I didn't even get a chance to introduce you here. I've just been referring to you as our mysterious film judge for the film editing contest, but I think it's time that we broke the silence here. I always have a good time hearing from the film editors when they're up on the podium and they're like, who the heck is this guy? Who's a guy from, I just heard some guy from West Virginia who's judging. What didn't he like? What can I do better? Well, why didn't he like this part? I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't even know the guy who's editing the contest. If you're asking or judging the contest, I just started stringing these guys along. But I think it is time that we introduce you. I am talking to Mr. Dan Cassidy, another one of our tour family members, a tour sweeper, a track guy, and a longtime family friend of the Temples. That would be Mr. Dan Cassidy. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. I just made the long trek back from Philadelphia, actually, to Morgantown this afternoon.
So bogus.
Just to, just to do it again tomorrow in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And headed down to the race. So yeah, had a little bit of excitement. Like I said, it's hit by some weather. Roads got a little bit dicey, but we made it. And yeah, so everything's good.
Okay, so Dan, you live in West Virginia. We got that much out of you. I know you're not originally from Dub-V. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved with Temple Off-Road?
Yeah, sure. So, I've known the Temples. I've known, our close group for too many years now. I think I met Tegan when he was in high school. And really, ever since we started hanging out, we were pretty much inseparable, riding, just really hanging out, doing the whole FMF rental thing. I rode before meeting Tegan, but I was really just that, that stupid redneck, riding with a t-shirt and jeans and, your cheapest pair of Fox boots doing wheelies in a horse field because I didn't, really have a place to ride.
No shade to anybody really wearing blue jeans or horse boots this weekend.
No shade. I really got riding more seriously really in my adult life after I graduated from college. I moved to Westchester full time, and obviously I was surrounded by it, hanging out with Tegan and the rest of the boys. So ended up getting a fresh bike for myself. And really just kind of, fell into the lineup, started not racing so much, racing, from time to time, but definitely going out trail riding with the boys and, hitting some local moto tracks, things like that. So, and then somewhere along the line, about 5 years ago, I met my now wife, who is, you'll see her in the scoring trailer.
And you also owe that to the Temples as well?
I do owe
your
that
marriage,
to the
not
Temples
when I
as
say
well.
That, I mean your marriage.
I do owe that to the Temples as well. So my wife is from West Virginia and went to college with Tynan, and they were best friends throughout college. So one thing led to another, and just through the mutual connection of the Temples, Kim will be the one who takes the most credit for it. But so met JC, and now fast forward 5 years, we are married and living in West Virginia, which is her home base, not my home base. That's really my story streamlined.
And then what do you do come race day when you're there?
Yeah, so for the most part, I'll be out sweeping. On some days, I'll be wrestling guys at the finish to go slower. I'll really just be doing whatever is needed. I do the sweeping just because it's a reason to ride. I don't ride a whole lot besides when I hit these tour races. So it's just fun for me to get out and ride. And, especially on the days where some of our other close buddies like Brian McElhenney and Nick Quinn are out there sweeping as well. It's, it's fun to race around with them as well. So that's really my main gig is, just out there sweeping, but I'll lend a hand wherever I can.
Yeah. That's really the name of the game. Get in where you're needed. It could be anywhere. And like you said, it could be wrestling guys on the finish line and maybe even on the starting line if you have to. Somebody's got to be the enforcer out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you have a history with Mamaw. You have known her for a long time. And that was kind of why I wanted to pair you guys together for this podcast. You're two guests that I wanted to have on for this whole season. And I finally figured this would be a good one since we're kind of winding down here, and I thought it would be fun to have us all on at the same time rather than break it up because, you probably know Mamaw better than I do even, and it was just, I thought it might be good to kind of pick her brain a little bit or just get to chatting with the three of us, kind of see what we can't get into here. I don't want to take up too much time from you guys here, but I think we have like another, 25, 30 minutes maybe I could steal from you, at least I hope. And, we'll just see where the conversation leads here. But with that, I'll let you guys kind of get into it there. Before you got on with us, Dan, I was just letting Mamaw kind of introduce herself, tell her side of the story about her family and how she's involved with this and everything. But what I kind of didn't get into with her, which I kind of wanted to lead the conversation into, is just some of her, you know, her favorite racing memories and where this whole life of racing has taken her throughout the years, whether it be with the cars or the dirt bikes or the quads. And, Mamaw, feel free to chime in here whenever you want, but it's very rare. And again, I say this with all due respect that, you are in an age bracket that not many race fans are in. And, you have just an awesome perspective and you have seen a lot of different things. You've seen all the fads, you've seen all of the trends of the types of gear, the colors, the kind of bikes guys are riding. And I know that you're no dummy. You know the difference between a 2-stroke and a 4-stroke. And you know who Mike Lafferty is, and you know the Baylors, you know all the big names. Just what? Take us.
I knew them way back when. I remember when we talk about Stu and Grant Baylor. I remember when they were just young kids racing with Tegan. And again, it goes to family. And by the way, Dan, I was here when you first met your wife.
I remember.
We were having a get together at the Temples, and she came down with her. Tynan had her sorority sisters here, and I know that was the first time that you all met, and we predicted at that time there might be a connection there. So. But it goes back to family. It goes back to get-togethers, and that's what the Temples have always created. They've always had people around. They've always instilled the love of racing, the love of friendship, and I think that's an important part. And yes, I remember Mike Lafferty when he was a young guy just starting out. In fact, I accused him one day. I said, I have a poster that you signed way back when. That was just when he was beginning with GNCC and becoming very popular. And again, like I said, it goes back, I think, to just family. This is what we've always, the love of writing has instilled friendship and family life. And it's spilled over into the current. Like I said, with Tor, I think Tegan, his appreciation of racing and what he's been able to do in one short year has been tremendous. But it's taken the support of Todd and Kim. And his sister, Tynan, she has given up a lot of her weekends. And Dan, you and JC, you come all the way from West Virginia. We come from West Virginia, not because we're obligated, but because we love the sport and we love being around people. And it's created, as I said, with a lot of Tegan's friends that have come and joined him and been supportive and helped him through all this. Some of them he's raced with. Some has watched him race and appreciated him. And I think of the Hicks boy when he helped him. When he was starting, Dylan, when he was starting out as a young rider, Tegan was there. And I remember at Snowshoe, Dylan won a race, and I could see him on that podium winning his first race, and the first person he thanked was Tegan. And I still have a video somewhere of that. It came up on Memories.
That's awesome.
That he was thanking Tegan for that support and giving him that love of racing. So, it's community. It's all about community and the support of our friends.
Yeah, that's an awesome sentiment there, too. I always forget about that little. I feel like Tegan has been such a role model for so many different people. I always forget, some of them. And it's Dylan, obviously, being one. He's such an easy one to forget because he's around all the time. For those of you who don't know, Dylan and the Hicks family, they are Westchester natives. And ironically, they are right down the street from the Temple compound, which is FMF rental. And, Dylan kind of grew up under Tegan's wing. So that's a story for another day. I got to get Dylan on here one day to talk about his, mentorship from Tegan. That's a great story. But yeah, that's, again, I love hearing that, you know, you seem to always have a way to wrap it back around to the family aspect of everything. And it's really why the wheels keep turning, whether you're inside working the races or whether you're going and participating every weekend and week in and week out. It comes back to the family support system.
Yeah, it's just nice to get everyone together. I love seeing Dan. I love seeing JC. Mm-hmm. I love seeing all the friends. Maddie, she shows up with Tynan. And I mean, you know, it's just that support system. You show up. I mean, you know, I look at all the people that come on a race-to-race basis and just provide that support and that love. And that's what makes it successful, you know, mm-hmm. the people.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Yeah, people and relationships. That's why things are successful, not just Temple Off-Road, but just in life. It's the people, the company you keep. You know, you are who you hang around with.
Exactly. And I think this will inspire other young children that are just now getting into the sport.
Certainly. Yeah, we don't know what kind of ripple effect this has. That you know, it gives me chills when every time I kind of think about it. Like, we don't really know the message we're sending, or you know, what kind of kid who's looking up to us or whatever. Kind of you know, another reminder was when those two kids dressed up as me and Sammy for Halloween. It, you know, you don't know the impact or the, you know, the memories that, you know, these kids are carrying with them, you know, possibly for the rest of their life. Like, you know, we're loving it, we're flying by the seat of our pants, and you know, but these families and these kids and these racers are all, you know, experiencing it for the first time as well. And, you know, we're just the memories that these kids are having, you know, that's what I, you know, after every weekend or even, you know, getting ready for the weekends, I think about that stuff. I think about just, you know, the little things that go such a long way. Like, you know, when we're at the race, like somebody just saying hi to Tegan or saying hi to anybody they see with a tour hat and a microphone, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be anybody who they think works there. And, you know, if one of us takes the time of day to say hi or, you know, chat about the track with them or whatever, like those little things stick with people. And, you know, I try not to take those moments for granted myself, because I'm spoiled with them. I obviously get to interact with the racers and the families a lot more than some of you guys do that work there. But I try not to take that stuff for granted, because I know that, you know, we were all that kid one time or another. We're that person when we're out in public or at an event, and you know, you might not feel super comfortable or comfortable or confident. You know, but it only takes one person to, you know, be kind to you, to totally change your perspective or change your experience. And I try to keep that in mind when we're there on the race day. And like I said, I'm spoiled because I get the opportunity to, but, you know, I can see it, because we hear it from the people, we hear it from the parents. You know, people, we get messages, we get comments, we get phone calls or texts or whatever, or even just people thanking us in person. So I know we're doing something right. And you know, I obviously we're trying to carry the momentum going into next year and everything, but it is just a huge, you know, kind of a weight lifted off of everybody's chest. You know, my job's easy. I tell that. I said every time someone says, "Oh, you're doing a great job," I said, "Don't look at me. Go to the girls in the registration trailer or go see T." And like, those are the people who are working hard. And you know, it's fun, but it's still a challenge and a task. But I think after this weekend, you know, for Todd and Kim and Tegan, it's going to be a big weight lifted off their chest. And I think that they should feel proud of themselves for what they've accomplished. You know, not only like obviously the success of the season, but they have to take joy and pride in those moments that they've given. Like, you know, they've given people the greatest gift, which is, you know, joy and memories that'll with their family and loved ones and stuff that'll last a lifetime. Like that stuff is priceless. And, you know, like I said, I think the whole tour crew should relish in the success that they've had. And, it's been a wild ride. We're not done yet. We have got one more round of racing here. I think we can stop patting ourselves on the back here. I think we could come public here, and Mamaw, I got to get your perspective on this. I know you don't get to watch a lot of the racing because you are working, feverishly down there at the, merchandise trailer, the tour store. So you don't get to watch a lot of the racing action, but do you have any favorites from this year that you've gotten to know, or anybody that you've gotten to hear or watch up on the podium? Is anybody that you stands out to you?
I don't, you know, obviously Dylan, you know, and Pete Hicks. I love seeing him. You know, he's out there, you know, racing. And, you know, I know a lot of the racers. I can't say one in particular. I love them all. I mean, whether they, you know, are out there racing their heart out or whether they're one of the top racers. The one young man, I'm terrible on names, mm-hmm. but the one that just clenched his reminds me of Tegan.
And so much we can say, that's Ranger Emmons. That's where I wanted to go. So for everybody who missed it or hasn't heard yet, we haven't made any formal announcements, but Ranger Emmons has locked up the Pro Class Championship here, and that's who Mamma is referring to. And I'll let her go back to it here, Mamma. Who? So what were you telling? He reminds you. Yeah. Ranger reminds you of who?
He reminds me of Tegan, you know, mm-hmm. in the fact of, you know, like I said, he's tall, and of course you referred to Tegan as the gentle giraffe, yeah. is what I call him.
yeah.
You know? But yeah, he does. He reminds me a lot. So I mean, I really don't have any favorites. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy talking to all of them and hearing their stories. You know, whether they play seventh or eighth, you know, they come in and they tell us their stories of the day, and some of them are hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, we sit there and laugh at some of those stories that they do share with us. And but it's just getting to know them and to appreciate what they're doing. A lot of them are doing it for the fun aspect as opposed to just getting competitive.
Sure.
And I think that's important too. You know, the fact that they come every race and they pour their heart out, mm-hmm. and you know, they don't care if they win or lose. They're out there doing their best, you know, and I think they just appreciate being there, and we appreciate having them there, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to flip it to Dan and ask him the same question. Dan, you've pretty much, I know you missed a handful of rounds here and there, but you've otherwise been to all the tracks, you've seen all the racers. Who stood out to you this year, and did anybody really impress you?
Yeah, for sure. So, first off, even though he was a flash in the pan, you know, it was really cool to watch Tyler Stepik at Bud's Creek.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I didn't even know that he was coming, and then all of a sudden I'm, you know, out there sweeping and just seeing the speed of this kid that I had no idea who it was. Come to find out, you know, I did find out who it was, but you know, that was really something special to see it, and it's. I think it's really cool to, you know, that Tor gets to kind of bridge the gap between, you know, those moto guys and the Woods guys. And I'm hoping that, you know, in years to come that more of these, you know, more moto focused kids can come over. So, I mean, that's definitely one person that sticks out. But yeah, I mean, like Mamaw says, you know, there's really no favorites out there. You know, it's just awesome to see, you know, these guys going fast and being stoked to ride and being stoked on the series. I think that's really just the best thing overall.
Yeah. It's awesome to see the, like you said, bridging the gap there. It was, I was thrilled to see Stepik out there, especially blowing the doors off of all of our Woods guys. I thought that we were going to have something for him, but, he showed up and showed out. I know that's kind of like his local track down there. I had never met Tyler before, but I got to do an interview with him and kind of chat with him about what he thought about Temple Off-Road and the future of GP off-road racing, all that good stuff. He's all about it. He's trying to stay more involved. I did reach out to him yesterday, and I didn't get hear back from him, trying to see if he was coming down this weekend. So stay tuned. We might see him this weekend, but again, that was down, you're talking about Bud's Creek. Yeah, he was absolutely destroying it. I think he won every race he was in. So we had that doubleheader weekend. He went two for Pro 125. He was out there on the small bore. He won on that, and then he won both motos in the pro class on Saturday, and then he came back on Sunday and did the exact same thing again. I think the only it might have been Ranger, actually. Somebody stole a hole shot from him. Now I can't remember who it was. But that otherwise he was perfect on the whole weekend. He got all the hole shots and all the wins. Pretty impressive. And again, that's Tyler Stepik, pro moto and supercross rider. And he wasn't alone out there. You know, we also had Brighton Carroll from the South Jersey area, who again is a young supercross rider, pro motocross guy, and he came out and got his feet wet with Temple Off-Road. I was trying to see if he was coming out this weekend. I talked to Brighton, and he, if you're following along on his Instagram, he had a little bit of a wrist injury a couple weeks ago, and he had a small surgery, had some pins put in. He had since taken the pins out, but he is not going to be ready to go racing this weekend. So unfortunately, we will miss him. That's a bummer. I was really looking forward to seeing him out there again. It's just these pro motocross guys, supercross racers, they have a different pace, but they do get humbled in the woods from time to time. So it's really fun to watch our seasoned woods guys go out there and battle it out with the moto and supercross guys. And like you said, Dan, I'm excited to see in the future here who's going to pop out for a couple of rounds of tour racing. I think, I say this every time I get a chance or an audience, but the the word spread around the national pits, whether it be at the GNCCs or Loretta Lynn's or at a pro moto somewhere, about tour and, that you can come out to race a quote unquote a local and you can get paid a good bit of money. You get some extra seat time. It's fast paced. It's good training. It's fun. It's good vibes. All that thing, everything that we know about tour, that is starting to get spread around the national pits. And I love it. I love it that it's starting to spread around. And I can't wait to see what we have in the future as far as big names, because they got to battle it out with our little guys. And I guess I shouldn't be calling them little anymore, but I do love to rib Ranger, and I am stoked on his championship, but he is still the youngster. But there's a new sheriff in town, and this is Tour is the predominant series here on the East Coast, and if anybody wants to have a chance at winning, they're going to have to come through Ranger. And I love that, because it's not like some old head won the class. No offense, Jared Stoner. But, now we got a young buck, an up-and-comer, and somebody who is going to be looking to defend that title in 2025. I have absolutely no doubt that Ranger is going to bounce back here strong and is going to look to protect his title in 2025. Again, it's unofficial. We haven't announced anything, but as per the points right now, as they sit, Ranger Emmons will be the pro class champion here for 2024. And it's pretty awesome. I couldn't imagine going to a better kid. Mamaw touched on it there for just a second. Kind of reminds her of Tegan. I said the exact same thing on the podium last week with him when we announced that he had locked up the championship on the podium. I just kind of gave him a little bit of a shout out there, kind of razzed him a little bit. Of course, I can't be too nice to him, but no, all jokes aside, he deserves it. And, it's fun to watch, again, comes back to what Mamaw said there. It's all about family. The Emmons family comes out from top to bottom. They're all out there. They got a whole pack of racers, and, it's where they choose to spend their time and support one another. And, it's, again, another rarity where you can have your daughter and your middle son, your oldest son, and sometimes even your father or whoever's out there racing, some of these families, all competing, doing the same sport on the same track the same day at varying levels. You just don't get that really with any other sport or camping weekend or just experience. I somehow keep finding myself coming back in circles to boosting up, self-plugging our series and just loving on ourselves too much. But I can't help myself because it is awesome. I work here too, and it's not a job or anything, and I'm involved with it. But I love it so much. And even if I wasn't working it, I probably would be doing the same thing, and it would be probably a lot easier to, start talking smack to people because my face wouldn't be associated with anything. And I could really start to, roast other series and, other people and whatever without getting the backlash here. Sometimes I got to be kept on a short leash and remind myself that, I'm kind of represent something a little bit bigger here, but, that's why we have you, Dan. So you can go out and you can run your mouth.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Thank you. So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a long-winded tangent there, guys, but as you well know, I just get going sometimes and I can't stop.
You do an awesome job. You really do. I must commend you. And those little kids, they look up to you And when they're on that podium, they appreciate those comments, whether you razz them or whether you're giving them compliments. They respond to that, and they remember that. They'll talk about it later when they're coming over buying their merchandise, you know? So
I love it.
Yes, yes. And, it, you know, again, like I said, it's all about the appreciation, you know, of the racing series in itself, not just, and we can't forget about our female racers. They are doing an awesome job, too, you
certainly,
know, and they're buying our merchandise and supporting us. And they're just, you know, I'm in awe of some of those gals and the way that they are.
Yeah, they're setting an awesome example for the younger girls.
Yes. The younger girls look up to that. And we've got some really good young female racers, too. In the,
yeah, they're no joke.
Oh, yes. And they're into it. They're into it. They are fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. There's a place for everybody. And, you know, I say it all the time, whether it's on the podcast or on the podium that we have, whether you're just a beginner or you're the fastest person, you think you're the fastest person on the East Coast, come on out. We have a spot for you, whether you be just getting your feet wet with the ladies of tour, or you have some youngsters on the Stasic bikes, or you have an old vintage bike that only gets the dust blown off it a few times a year. Well, guess what? We've got a place for you too. So it's ever changing, it's ever expanding, and I think that's also something that makes us such a fun and unique series and a unique experience, is that we never, and I say we, but I should say Tegan and Kim and Todd, they never put themselves in a box, and we never say no, we can't do that, or no, that won't work. You know, everybody has some ideas, and we find a way to make it work, and it usually somehow, like, we just have good ideas and we all come together with that stuff. But ultimately, you know, it comes down to, you know, Tegan, Todd and Kim with, you know, the approval and the, you know, like I said, just not limiting us to, you know, putting ourselves in a box. And, you know, when you give yourselves those freedoms to, or people those freedoms to run, and I feel like that's partially why we're so successful with, like you mentioned, when people show up on race day, the workers, that is, everybody just shows up and gets their walkie-talkie and goes, because they have the freedom and there's nobody barking at them, telling them what to do or how to do it. We all kind of just have the freedom to express ourselves and work together in a cohesive unit. I don't know how the hell it works, but somehow it does. And, you know, again, I think it's just because we all have this enjoyment, and we're just kind of all expressing ourselves whichever way it might be. And we get that freedom from the temples, and that's what makes us successful and different from other series and other programs or other events. I don't know. It's just, we have this weird cohesiveness that we all get along and we all put our nose down. We all go to work, and somehow the product comes out on Sunday, and that is what you guys see. When I say you guys, I mean our listeners and our racers.
It makes work look like play.
it really does. Yeah, it is. It's, yeah, I don't know. I guess I never really understood what that verbiage or adage, when people say, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I don't know, if I did that every weekend, or if we were, that was what we did, that was our full-time job, I don't know, I would probably love it, and I probably would not look at it as work. But right now, I understand that saying, because it's not work. We show up and we have fun all weekend, but it is when we actually break it down, holy crap, we are doing a lot of stuff, and it does take a lot of time and a lot of money and effort and interest from people. So it isn't easy, but I don't know. I feel like none of us ever complain about it, because we all just like it. It's the strangest thing. It's like we're slave drivers, but we don't complain. We just love it and enjoy it. I don't know. But
I totally agree. I agree. Yes, definitely. We all show up for the friendship and for, you know, just being together as a family. And I know I go back to that a lot, but I really feel like that, you know. We've created a family outside ourselves that have continued to grow. And I hope it continues to grow next season.
Certainly.
Even more.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. All right. Well, I don't want to, like I said, jam you guys up here. This was my one big question. I kind of already asked it without really thinking about it, but I'll propose it to you, Dan, first, and Mamaw, then you can kind of think about it. You said that it was awesome to see Stepik show up for that, the doubleheader down there at Buds Creek. But do you have a favorite moment or a memory from this season that you're just not going to forget? Like, it could be anything here. I should have given you a chance to think about it. But, I mean, it could be a crash, or it could be a racer, or it could be, or a weekend, something that happened around the fire. I mean, a tour after dark story, if you want to enlighten some of the folks. It could be anything. I want to hear what you have enjoyed the most, or what your favorite memory is here from our first season racing here.
Yeah, man, on the spot, the first thing that comes to mind is I think it was the very first round was when Thorne was sending that massive gap in the extreme section. That was just awesome. That's really the first thing that comes to mind. But, I mean, I could probably dig deep for some tour after dark stuff, but I think we'll save that for another time.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind, but that's not, that's just, point blank response.
Okay. Fair enough. And, I think, pretty awesome, thing that happened to you, because of tour, and I'll say it, is, you got a new dirt bike and a camper. And do you think that is because of Temple Off-Road, or would you have done that if you weren't involved with this?
Yeah, it was 100% because of Temple Off-Road. So just a short story. I came to round one in my work car with no bike, no gear, no nothing. I was sleeping on a blow-up mattress in our buddy Nick Quinn's enclosed trailer. And I ended up riding Nick Quinn's spare bike. Keegan gave me a bunch of gear, that was at that first round. I pretty much showed up, took a bunch of my buddy's stuff, and ended up sweeping. And it was the first time in a while that I had ridden, but I just had such a good time, and just a great time the whole weekend, not only sweeping. So fast forward to that next week, I went home and I started looking at campers for myself, and my wife has been hot on getting a camper for literally probably 3 years. So as soon as I mentioned it, she was gung ho. And then next thing you know, we went and bought a camper, and I was like, well, if we're going to be going to all these races, I better go get me a new bike. So ended up getting a brand new bike, and that's the setup that we're running now, and it's all pretty much because of that first round this year. Just that the amount of fun that I had and the amount of fun that we continue to have. I mean, I can speak for myself, but I know JC loves going just as much as I do. It all comes full circle to what you keep saying, Luke. It's all about family, all about coming together with your friends. That's really what it's all about. And that's really why we keep driving from West Virginia, is, just to come in, spend time. It's, some of the best weekends that we have all year is, spending time with all you guys.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that, man. And I'm glad you shared about the bike and the camper, because I know you're not alone. I know I personally was able to guilt at least 5 or 6 people into buying dirt bikes this year. Most of them grown men buying bikes for their kids, but and then you, and then I was doing the same thing. I was sleeping in an enclosed trailer, my wife and I, and 2 dogs on a futon. And finally, we upgraded, got a camper, and I haven't pulled the trigger on a new bike yet, but maybe that'll be sooner or later. But it's just funny. I know we're not alone. I know that we're Temple Off-Road is good for dirt bikes. It's good for campers. It's good for everybody. It's good for the economy. It's good for families. I mean, we're slowly, changing things here. We're fast, making the races and you know, weekends away with your family, riding your dirt bike, a thing again, because it's been a rough go here with race series and, you know, dirt bikes in general, sales, you know, the whole kind of industry kind of hurting. So, you know, we as a community needed Temple Off-Road, and it's awesome. You know, everybody's springing back into action, man. It's like the early 2000s again. I feel like everybody's buying toy haulers and dirt bikes, and that makes me, it gives me a warm and fuzzy feeling.
But yeah, for sure. I mean, I can speak for our friend group, you know, in particular, you know, kind of the natural way through life is that, you know, you all kind of grow up and you just naturally not grow apart, but, you know, you go to your day job during the week, and then, you know, you don't see each other as often on the weekends, but tour has really given us all a reason kind of come back home and, yeah, and just, you know, now we all have a reason to come together on the weekends and sit around the fire and drink beer together again.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not a boring weekend. It's not like we're going down the shore or playing golf or anything lame like that. We're racing dirt bikes, people. But, okay, I'm going down another tangent there. So now, without further ado, Mamaw, can you tell us, you've had I gave you plenty of time now to think about it after I got distracted there. So what is your favorite memory from this year or your favorite experience that you've had?
Well, I have lots, and I've narrowed it down to two events.
Okay.
I go back to family, and it's not just racing. It's a family weekend. People come and enjoy themselves. And I think Tegan has been very inspiring in trying to make it a family weekend and come up with other options than just being on the racetrack. So the two that come up most is the fishing in New York.
Okay.
Funny story. Our setup was very close to the lake where the kids were fishing, and we're there selling merchandise, and we have a young man running into our trailer with a live fish. Can you weigh this for me? I think I won.
That's great. Okay, yeah, that is a good memory. So
we had to steer him towards a weighing station there where they were actually weighing the fish to determine who the winner was. That and the Halloween. I mean, so many people dressed up for that. I was impressed.
Yeah, so
true. The amount of people that brought their, you know, all their different Halloween costumes and the kids seem to enjoy that.
Yeah, and they actually had their candy bags and were going from, you know, pit to pit or camper to camper.
And you know, they were very creative in what they, you know, we talked about the two that came on the podium to, you know, show support for you and for Sammy. But, you know, it's funny. I really felt that was such a wonderful time seeing some of the outfits and hearing some of their stories, too. It was just a fun weekend.
Yeah, that we have had a lot of awesome times. That's again what I said. It comes back to what I mentioned about, you know, we were never put in a box. We're never just going to race our dirt bikes. We're going fishing. We're going to watch the jet skis, or, you know, it could be any one of these things. There's freestyle shows or pit bike racing at night. You name it. You know, we're trying to keep it interesting and you know, make it more of a whole experience rather than just a weekend for the racer. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. What was that? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and we gave out certificates for the people, the winners of those, and people enjoyed coming to the tour merchandise trailer. Getting free merchandise.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course. Yeah.
That added to all of it too. Yeah. Family fun. Yes.
Cool. That's, I'm glad you shared those memories with us. So again, guys, we're wrapping up here at the last round of this season. It's so hard to believe that it's, you know, that we're in the middle of November right now. I, you know, we're talking about some of those memories there, and it makes me think, you know, in the summer I feel like we were just up in New York, just, you know, it seems like yesterday it was July or August, and here we are middle of November with only one race left to go. It makes me feel, honestly, it makes me a little sad. I don't know. It's a bummer when you think about it. It's all good things must come to an end, but I'll definitely miss seeing all the familiar faces of, you know, the kids and the families at the race and on the starting line and everybody, and, you know, just, motivation to get, squared away for next year and all that good stuff. And I know we'll see a lot of our dedicated families and racers who committed to this series this year. I know they're going to be coming back out next year. So I can't wait to see everybody real soon. I don't want to skip ahead to next year, but I can't wait to see everybody, you know, everybody back out at the races again next year. And this isn't going to be the last podcast either. I'm going to try and sneak in one or two more here. I need to get Tegan on to address some end of year things. So stay tuned for that. And also, you know, I'll probably bring some of our champions on. I'd like to get on Ranger. And then I don't want to speak to some of our other classes that haven't wrapped up. Women's Pro, Pro 125. I know they're close, or maybe they are mathematically finished. But I'm going to leave those here until the end of the season, which would be this weekend, and then I'm going to sneak on some of our champions, and I'd like to even, you know, get some of the young kids on, you know, some of the kids that, you know, I usually have on the podium. They don't get to have their voices heard too often at a big scale like this, you know, put them on the podcast and YouTube and all that good stuff. So I'd like to have some of the kids on here, you know, some of the 50s and the 65 riders, if any of them would be interested. So moms, dads, if you listen, you know, stay tuned, or even just reach out, you know, if your kids are frequent racers and you're on the podium all the time, just, you know, drop a DM and say that you guys would be interested. Otherwise, I might reach out. You might be hearing from me soon. So without further ado, going to wrap this one up here. We are just about scratching on an hour here. Mamaw, thank you so much for coming on here and doing this interview with me. I know that this will be a little nugget, I think, for everybody to hold on to here and enjoy for a long time, because you shared some intro or some perspective and you know some. You know, a look behind the scenes of what you've gone through here in the past, lifetime of racing.
81 years.
Okay. I didn't want to say, I wasn't going to ask you. I know better, but thank you for sharing that. So 81 years of racing fandom, and that is Mamaw, as she is formerly known as Wanda Donahue. So again, Mamaw, thanks so much for coming on here. I really appreciate it, and I think people are just going to enjoy hearing from you. So I'm going to let you go here, unless you have anything else you want to say.
Nope, just keep enjoying the races, and we look forward to seeing you at the merchandise trailer. Come and say hi.
All right, everybody. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Come on in and say hi to Mamaw. We'll see you later, Mamaw. I'm going to keep Dan on here for just another second.
All right.
See you tomorrow, Mamaw.
Okay, look forward to seeing you and JC. Travel safe.
Will do.
All right, Dan, that's going to do it, man. I wish I was able to get you on here sooner. You know, maybe we'll keep, you know, keep some of the tour After Dark stories for the off season here. I'm going to need some content to fill in the gaps here between now and next season. So, you know, maybe I'll have some of the boys on here and, you know, we'll come over into my garage and crush some beers and do some podcasts or something and, you know, get into some trouble, see if we can't hurt some feelings.
Sounds great. I'm all in.
I knew you would be. All right, but I'll see you tomorrow too. I'm gonna be packing my stuff up here. I'm looking at the RM. Oh, and just in case anybody was looking, you know, I don't want to jinx myself here or, you know, toot my own horn or anything, but I am holding down second place in points right now in the vintage pre 2004 BC class. And it's coming down to the wire tomorrow, so you know, you're gonna want to show up and show out for that. So I will be racing on Saturday, and I've got to work on the RM, like I was just starting to say. Got to do the air filter and do the oil, but she's ready to get loaded up, and we'll be rolling out tomorrow. When are you guys pulling out? Should I plan accordingly, or what are you doing?
That is to be determined. It's supposed to snow here all night, so road conditions are going to play a part in our departure time, but I'll definitely be in touch, let you know. Gonna try to get out of here early and get there early, try to set up before it gets dark out, but we'll see how that goes.
Daylight saving time kill you, man, I tell you what.
Yeah. Yep.
But all right, dude, unless you got anything else to add here before I cut you loose, it is that time.
Yeah, I'm all good, man.
All right, I appreciate you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Luke. Later.
Yeah, peace, bud.